Next, we have a story of two veteran foreign correspondents who married each other. Jennifer Griffin and Greg Myrie moved to Jerusalem to cover the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. At the time, it seemed to be heading for a resolution.
We almost felt a little disappointed. It was so calm and it was so quiet. We thought, this is actually a good time to start a family.
They did, though history intervened. Jennifer Griffin recalls the day an Israeli politician, Ariel Sharon, paid a controversial visit to the holiest site in Jerusalem.
I was pregnant, actually, with our first daughter at the time, and I had a little bit of morning sickness, and I thought, oh, I really don't want to go over there. And our bureau chief said, you know, you've got to go. This is too tense.
That day, in the year 2000, marked the start of a Palestinian uprising that continued for years. Today, Greg Myrie is an editor here at NPR's Morning Edition. Jennifer Griffin is a correspondent for Fox News. Together, they have written This Burning Land, a book about their years in the Mideast. Their kids were born in a hospital that also treated the wounded from suicide bombs. You guys actually write about the experience of being in the hospital where both of your children were born, right? Both of them?
That's right.
Would you read a little bit of that?
It was in a Jewish neighborhood surrounded by Palestinian ones, and a sign at the hospital entrance told patients and visitors to hand over their weapons. There was an armed guard manning a metal detector to make sure they did. Everyone seemed to check their hostilities at the door as well. Walking the halls, we heard almost as much Arabic as we did Hebrew. In the nursery, Muhammad and Moshe were both popular names for newborns. If you could replicate the atmosphere in Israeli hospitals, Arabs and Jews would have made peace decades ago.
This was some of the duality of life there. There were certain places, and hospitals being the leading example, where people seemed to just set all those hostilities aside. There was a sense of we're all facing the same issue. We're all people trying to get through our lives here. We're having babies. We have illnesses. This was the nature of the place. There could be peaceful situations that would give you hope one minute, and there could be scenes of great friction and violence the next.
I mean, it was an amazing time to be there. And those 7 years, I think, really changed the conflict. There was a period in March of 2002 when every other day there was a suicide bombing. That changes your psychology, and you have to live through something like that to understand how the Israelis and Palestinians really changed during that period.
Okay, how did it change your psychology as individuals, as a couple, as a family?
You know, I remember one instance in particular where it was a Saturday night, and you had this sort of gut-wrenching feeling that when the sun would go down and Shabbats, the Sabbath, would end, that's usually when activity would start up again. And you knew that a Palestinian bomber was on its way to sites in Jerusalem. And I remember one night when we were putting Annalise, our 6-month-old, to bed, and the windows in our apartment shook because the cafe down the street, Moment Cafe, had just blown up. And the owner lived upstairs from us. We heard the door slam as he ran down the street. It was a very intense time.
And this happened day after day after day, week after week after week. Is that right?
Certainly back for a couple of years in 2002, 2003. But over a course of really 5 years, you had to worry all the time. You could go about your day, and it would look like a normal day. You got up, took kids to school, you went to work, you went shopping, did what you needed to do. But then all of a sudden, you could be sitting drinking coffee in a cafe and
Spend a lot of time in cafes for that reason, Greg. I mean, we had certain rules with the children. You wouldn't take them to grocery stores. You wouldn't take them to the movie theaters. I mean, we lived within certain parameters so that we could live safely. Now, that being said, you're right that certain aspects of it felt very normal, but it also was very surreal when at 1 p.m. I could be up in in Jenin in the West Bank interviewing masked gunmen from the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigades, and I'd have to call Greg at 1 and say, oh, can you pick the kids up from preschool?
Oh, man.
Jennifer would travel around routinely with a breast pump and a flak jacket.
What did you tell your children about what was going on around them, particularly as they got a little older?
Well, there was one moment when we realized maybe we had stayed too long, when Annalise and her friend Benny, whose parents worked for the Washington Post at the time, and our babysitters came home laughing. They said the kids they were probably 4 years old, and they had taken their cell phones, and Annalise had said, there's been an explosion in Tel Aviv. And Benny took the other cell phone and said, have you sent a photographer? And we realized they had probably overheard a little too much from their journalist parents.
What did Israelis and Palestinians, or at least some that you knew, tell their children about the conflict that they were in the middle of?
Well, this was, again, I think a very, very important part of what we're trying to tell. Anybody that's, you know, 63 years old or younger has lived with this conflict their entire life. And it starts from at a very young age. If you're a young Israeli boy or girl, you know you're going to go into the military out of high school for 2 or 3 years. You may continue to serve after that. If you're a young Palestinian, this is not a place that has soccer heroes or movie stars or rock stars. So they often look to the militant group that they feel they most identify with. And their friends are out maybe throwing stones at Israeli soldiers patrolling in their neighborhood.
Greg describes how young Palestinian boys would carry around during this particular period of the uprising their school photos or the photo that they wanted used on their so-called martyrdom posters if they became suicide bombers.
Are you saying people would pick out the photo that they most wanted to have on the martyrdom poster after their death?
And carry it in their breast pocket to school.
Greg Myrie and Jennifer Griffin are authors of This Burning Land. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Jennifer Griffin is a correspondent for Fox News, as she was for years in Jerusalem. Her husband, Greg Myrie, reported for The New York Times and now edits Morning Edition.